Finally, he sent his son to them, thinking, they will respect my son. But when the tenants saw the son, they said to one another, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him and acquire his inheritance. They seized him, threw him out of the vineyard, and killed him. That doesn't make a whole lot of sense. If you're a tenant and somebody else owns a vineyard and you're hired by the vineyard as a tenant to keep things growing, to collect the harvest, to make things fruitful, what makes you think that killing the son of the owner is going to allow you to acquire his inheritance? It's absurd. But sin does that to people. And we see it all the time. People say, I don't need the sacraments. I don't need the church. I don't need to pray. I don't need to listen to the priest. I need nothing at all, but yet I expect to go into heaven. Heaven, as we know, is not a reward for being a good boy or being a good girl. Heaven is a gift from God. Salvation is an eternal gift that's given to us, but it's a life that's been lived. We live like we've been saved. If we live the life of salvation, we are saved. When death comes, we enter from one way of life to another. If, however, we're given the gift of salvation and we throw it aside and don't live the life of salvation, then we cut ourselves off from God. We kill the life of the Spirit in us. Yet we expect to receive eternity. And it doesn't work that way. The vineyard in the Old Testament was the house of Israel. It was the plan of salvation given to the first call by God to live in a relationship with Him in a covenant, to follow the commandments, to follow the way of life of the people of Israel, to remain in the house of Israel. And God Himself asked, what more was there done to do for my vineyard that I did not do? Why then, when I looked for the crop of grapes, did it bring forth wild grapes, sour grapes, bad fruit? I'll let you know what I'm going to do. I'm going to destroy this vineyard, but then something new will come from it. And so Jesus comes, and the vineyard is now the church, the body of Christ. Christ Himself is the Son, given to us by the Father. As Jesus says, I am the vine and you are the branches. I've called you to become one with me. It was not you who chose me, Jesus says. It was I who chose you to go forth and bear fruit. Fruit, says the Lord, that will remain forever. And what kind of fruit is He asking us to produce as members of this vine, as people planted in this vineyard of the church? St. Paul tells us, brothers and sisters, we are to follow whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is gracious. And this is exactly the kind of fruits that we produce. We are people who believe the truth of Christ, we live the truth of Christ, and we don't let ourselves fall into falsehood. We don't let ourselves fall into being hypocrites. We don't let ourselves fall into any kind of lack of respect for ourselves, to end up being people who are disintegrated within. What we say is what we mean. We're upfront with people. We're honest. We're trustworthy. We show that people can put their faith in us. That is what it means to be true, that there is no lie, no deception in us. With that, we find ourselves being honorable people, people that can be imitated because, as St. Paul says, they imitate us as we imitate Christ. We seek to be people of one heart and one mind. We try to respect the presence of Christ in others and serve the presence of Christ in others, respecting the presence of Christ within ourselves. People who live with honor, not with shame. That we are people known to be just and fair. That we seek righteousness and justice for others. That we seek to have things in a balance. We don't fill ourselves with impurity and filth with our words, our thoughts, our actions. But purity is seen in our heart, our minds, our lives. All we desire is God. We produce things that are lovely, not ugliness. We seek unity, not dissension. People of graciousness, not to be crude or to be vulgar. In other words, as I've said before, we're called to be a people who are different and people who make a difference. Yes, we are supposed to be different from other people. When they dress dishonorably and shame their bodies, we don't do that. When they use words that have no purity, we don't do that either. Whenever people live lives of debauchery or anything that's absolutely against the commandments or something that's against God's desires, we don't follow that alone. And people will laugh at us, and people will call us all kinds of different things and say how backwards we are, and that's fine. But if we're true to ourselves and to God, if we can live with honor, knowing that we've done the right thing, if we are just and pure and lovely and gracious, if we seek excellence in all that we do, then the God of peace will be with us. We don't need the world to agree with us, but we need to agree with God. It was said of Jesus that he has done all things well, and he did. Jesus did all things well. Not in some kind of a psychotic way of being an over-compulsive perfectionist, not that way. But Jesus did all things with love. There was nothing that Jesus did that wasn't done out of love for the Father and love for us. As it was in his life, it should be in ours. Everything that we do, out of love of God and love of neighbor. There is nothing in our lives that is untouched by grace. Being baptized Christians, grace fills everything that we do. From the most mundane tasks, like sweeping out the house, to the most elevated tasks of praying for one another, educating one another in the faith, whatever it might be, we bring the presence of Christ and we do all things well when we do these things with love. And that produces good fruit. That makes us something different. We make a difference. Instead of seeking to kill the Son, that is to kill the life of the Son within us, then we enliven the Son, the daughter of God that we truly are. The Son, the daughter of God that we were created and willed by God to be. Look at what happened that first Good Friday when they attempted to kill the Son of God. When Jesus yielded up his spirit on the cross, the veil of the temple was split in half. There were terrible earthquakes. The temple was damaged. The bodies of the dead had even come to haunt people. There was a tremendous wailing and crying out in pain because there was an attempt to kill God, an attempt to kill life. What a horrible and frightening day that must have been. But then on the third day, they see the resurrected Christ who comes to heal the broken, who comes to restore the damaged, to take away sin and replace it with grace. And so it is with us, to prune the vine that it can produce good fruit. I have chosen you from the world, says the Lord, to go and bear fruit that will remain. At all times, in all places, in all people, anyone who fears God and does what is right is acceptable to him. Maybe not to the world, but we're acceptable to God. He has willed to save us, and he has made us holy, and he has done this in and through his body, the body of Christ, the church, as part of the new covenant sealed by his blood. You and I are called to be born of one spirit, fed with the one body, living in the one Lord. Purified by that spirit, nourished by his body and blood, living of one mind and one heart through him. Though we are many, as St. Paul says, we are one bread, we are one body. We all partake of the one bread and the one chalice. All this given to be different, to make a difference. Christ himself makes all things new, and he has done all things well. He is the vine, we the branches. May we always remain united to him, seeking always to produce nothing but good and lasting fruit.